know going through finals could feel like this. Well, hopefully listening to WOMY Oneonta 90.9 FM Red Dragon Radio will help relieve some of the stress. Don't forget to keep it locked.
I'll have you know, I stubbed my toe last week while watering my spice garden.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines, such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drugdisposal.
Hey everyone, you're listening to WOMY 90.9 FM Oneonta. We hope you have a happy and safe holiday season. Thanks for keeping it locked with us, and we'll see you in 2026. Happy holidays. You're listening to the Holiday Hour on WNY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Don't touch that dial.
Hello.
Check. DJ Nusra Mark II. Hey, what's going on this morning? We've got something going. I don't know what was going on. Something just like got all weird and there we go. Okay. I got stuff rolling now. How we doing this morning, everybody? It's 8:02 Wednesday, December 17th. And we got 8 days till the holiday. You might be in other holidays depending on what you celebrate. But we rocking and rolling this morning with the Space Case, yo. Say hello out there, Space Case.
Woo! What's up, everybody?
Yeah, we here, man. We're going to do a fun show this morning, just talking about whatever, blabbing, but also talking about 45s, which nobody seems to bring in and play. So I'm actually pretty excited. Except Gavin had a couple when we did our little punk hardcore set, but most people are not really playing those a lot these days because they're kind of a pain. They're great for DJing, small sets, but they're not really good for home use. And they are great for the studio here, and I have a couple hundred in back of me, but we'll talk about that whole collecting thing and where to get them and all that kind of stuff going on in a minute. Going to start this morning with some Herb Albert because everybody needs Herb Albert in their life. And this is a weird track, actually. If you don't have the Herb Albert Christmas album, I highly suggest picking it up along with any Herb Albert albums because they're all fantastic as far as I'm concerned. But here we go. We're going to listen to some Sleigh Ride. It's got some really bizarre, weird intro, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was it. That was pretty awesome. I like the vocal introduction on it, and then the weird little just kind of... anyways, we're here with Space Case. Yo, I've known Case since I knew Andres.
Yeah.
Right? So this was probably... You guys graduated high school in 99. So
I think we were coming... I mean, God, it's hard to remember, but it blends in, but...
99.
We were probably coming out here skateboard. I was coming out here skating. He was probably going to college already.
In 99?
Yeah.
Did he graduate before you?
So he was went to Germany for a year, so he was in my grade. But he was a grade above me, and he was in my, like, garage band, you know? And
we
were like, oh, he's the sound man, you know? So
he's the sound man.
Andres.
Yeah, so I met them, I would say 2000.
Yeah.
Let's give it a rough edge there, 2000. And I've known, yeah, and we've just crossed paths a million times since then. And, yeah, he's always been invested in the music scene. When I first met you, it was a lot of hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
It probably still is, like, in
yeah.
the...
Yeah. You know, growing up, it was like... I mean, I grew up learning upright bass on jazz, so, like, my first introduction to music was, like, Charles Mingus, so...
It's awesome.
So, like, I was probably... listening to stuff that, I mean, even my dad was like, that's square. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
And he's throwing me, like, Jimi Hendrix and Dark Side of the Moon, and I'm like, oh, Dad, I like Ornette Coleman and, you know, Miles Davis.
Sure.
And so, and that was just, you know, like, my father was always, you know, The Who, Rolling Stones. Like,
yep.
We'd go on rides, and he'd be like, all right, best scream in rock and roll, who isn't? I'd be like... Roger Daltrey, you know,
that's
like
right.
It was like, so
we'll get fooled again, right?
You know, I was it was conditioning to an extent, but yeah.
Sure, then, I mean, yeah, I think we all. I was thinking about when I was this morning when I was just picking out a Christmas song. I was kind of going through my collection, and I've had various, you know, I had collections in high school, and then I got rid of it, and then I was in college. And post-college, and I had another 1,500 albums, and then I got rid of it.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, 15 years ago, I started again.
Yeah.
20 years ago, I started again. And this one I haven't stopped on. But I was just kind of going through and looking at what I had. And it's, no matter what, it's, like, really easy to get classic rock albums because they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? So you just kind of pick up all these... all these albums that they mass produced for
classics,
yeah, for cheap, you know,
the dollar bin. Like, I have to say, like, growing up, I grew up in Cobleskill, which is, I mean, we're in Oneonta, so we're smack dab in the middle of Binghamton, Oneonta, and Binghamton, Albany. I grew up in Cobleskill, so once I was old enough to get a ride, and then Andres, you know, we mentioned Andres earlier, once I was old enough to get a ride to QE2 or Bogies in
sure.
Albany, I was like. I'm like, I'm out of here, man, you know,
yeah.
Valentine's.
Yeah.
So I was just like, as soon as I went to, like, my first hardcore punk show, like, it was like, I was like, there's merch tables, they have their own 45s. I'm like, oh, I want everything, you know? Like,
sure.
So, yeah. So that's kind of, I would say that's where I initially, like, got into that stuff.
And Last Vestige?
Yeah, Last Vestige, Quail Street.
Yeah.
I mean, God, Saratoga
Winners,
The Chance.
I'm going to go on Monday. I'm going to try to go next Monday.
Yeah.
Last Vestige. Hopefully it's open. Every year I try to go there around Christmas. But that place is to say, it hasn't changed.
Yeah. No. And it's perfect. And the good record stores, I say this day, the good record stores won't change, you know? Like,
yeah.
And, you know, and like you were saying, like, we as vinyl people, like, we go through those... Oh, I gotta get rid of this, and I never really had one of those moments. Thankfully, where I did leave like 10 records at an apartment I lived at once, and lost like my Black Flag, Slip It In, and like some Moby autographs or something.
Ooh.
But you know, other than that, like never really. I never had a fire sale per se. So
yeah, I think mine was just moving, and then kids, and I've lived a very storied and colorful life,
yeah.
Maybe should I say,
yeah.
You know, I think I moved 20 times in 25 years,
yeah.
You know, before I settled in and bought a house. So it was,
it's funny to, like, you know, now 20 years later, it's like funny to think that, like, you know, still doing that, you know, it's like still the vinyl, like still awesome, like still exciting, you know, and now that it's back, it's
yeah,
just, it's
I
just
know.
Like, kind of like, I'm like, oh, You know, it's awesome, but it's also it's a double-edged sword, you know?
The problem now is expensive.
Yeah.
Well, newer stuff. But, you know, before we get into what we're doing, what we're listening to, what we're playing, any of that stuff, there's something that's super important that we didn't talk about that happened last night. Do you know what happened last night? The Knicks.
Oh, the Knicks. Oh, yes. Oh, come on. As a New Yorker, yes.
The Knicks. Yes. Case also likes the basketball.
I'm a Knicks fan all the way.
Yeah, and Knicks fan. And this is an interesting thing. So there's a couple things that I want to bring up and talk about here. Number one, and I was driving to New York City this weekend because I went and saw Bill and Ted.
The Broadway show.
Yeah, I went and saw that.
So that was good?
It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was amazing. It was super fun. And I went to the Museum of the Moving Image on Saturday. And when I was driving down there, I like listening to the radio, but a lot of times I like listening to podcasts. And yeah. I found one recently that's History That Doesn't Suck. And it's somewhat interesting to a degree. And I forgot what we were... I was listening to something... Maybe it was like the rise of the Nazis or something like that, like the party going on. But I don't know why this popped up in there, and I'll have to go back and check out what episodes I was listening to. But the word Knickerbocker, right, came into play. And if you think of where was the origin of the word Knickerbocker, do you know who first coined that?
I don't, actually. And so growing up, in a Cobleskill, like, we had the Knickerbocker Arena in Albany.
That's
and
right.
And I was always like, I just wonder what that meant, you know? And nowadays, it's probably, like, 12 times later, it's, like, the Pepsi or the MVP or whatever
it is,
right?
The Pepsi, the MVP. I saw AC/DC at the Knickerbocker,
yeah, when
right?
it was the Knick, you know?
When it was the Knick, yeah. So, one thing I did not know, right, is the Knickerbocker came from Washington Irving, who had called... and not as a derogatory term, just as a term, I think, as a Dutch, somebody living in New York that was Dutch, came from that area. Mm-hmm. He had called them a settler of the New World. He had called them a Knickerbocker, and it kind of stuck. And that was why it's called that. That's why they're called Knickerbockers. It's also some kind of pants.
But so the knicker thing, right?
The knicker.
Because growing up, my mom was full English, and my grandma and my grandpa on her side were both from England, so I call her full English. She would just say, I'm American. But the knickers, like, I always wondered, you know, they had to wear, it was like capris, right?
Yeah,
so did they have this little leather hold-up thing? Is that what a knickerbocker was?
Yeah, you know? So you go around the ankle, and they're like these baggy kind of, like, and if you think about it, like classic Dutch pants, too, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're called knicks. They also are called knickerbockers. I was doing a little research on this, just as stupid trivia that people should know.
But the Knicks, I mean.
Washington Irving. So anyways.
Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, you go through, that's right. Patrick Ewing and Mark Jackson, right? And was it Walt?
Frazier.
Yeah, Walt Frazier, right? Sliding and gliding, slipping and dipping, whatever. You know, so last night, 3 years ago, the NBA started this NBA Cup thing where they just decided, right, the first half of the season, they're going to have this, like, internal cup for some reason to gain more, whatever. I don't know why. There's some money ploy or something like that. Mm-hmm. They do have cool floors. Like, they changed the courts.
Yeah, I like the projection thing. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. My daughter actually went to one of those cup games, I think, when they played the Heat, when the Knicks played the Heat. But the Knicks, right, have been who I enjoy. I'm a Denver Nuggets fan. I always have, like, two teams. Mm-hmm. I have, like, my main team, and then I have a secondary team who I always root for, which is never going to win.
Right.
Right? Which is, like, the Bills.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's like being a New York fan. I mean, I root for the Mets, Jets, and... And, you know, like... Being rooting for those teams.
Yeah, you're just, like...
used to losing all the time.
You would think, because New York's such a... Like, I would say it's one of the more wealthier states, maybe, where it's got money.
So.
It dumps money into stuff, you know. So you would think that they would win, but no. So the Knicks have won how many championships? I know the answer to this.
Two.
I believe it was 70 and 73 or 72. Yeah. 72 or 73, right?
Yep.
So we have this early 70s thing. And since then, there have been a couple close calls. There have been the...
94.
Yep, the Ewing era, right?
Yep, and then you got the Sprewell era, like 99, 2000, I think.
That's
I
right.
I may be wrong. Like, don't crucify me, Knicks fans. But and then, you know, like recently, right?
And recently. There have been a couple little jabs here and there where you're like, wow. And when Melo was on there for that 1 year, they were, like, pretty good.
Yeah.
Although wherever Melo went, something went down, right? Like, you know, he just couldn't, whatever.
And he was a Nugget.
And he was a Nugget. And he was a Nugget. Yeah, that's right. But last night, the state of New York got something they could eat, right?
Yeah.
So they win the Emirates Cup, right? There's only been two other winners. This is a third year here. The first year was the Lakers won it. Boo. The second year was the Bucks, right? And then now we have the Knicks, which is actually kind of cool that it wasn't like necessarily the team that had won the regular. I don't think it's ever been that. No, the team never won the championship right. That year. So we'll see what happens. The Knicks have a pretty good chance to take the Eastern Conference. Detroit is good, but they're young. We'll see. I think the Knicks are going to take the Eastern Conference.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, I think it's actually going to happen this year.
You've got a good bench, too. Like,
that's right.
There's depth.
Agree.
If Jalen Brunson doesn't feel like he has to do it all himself, is how I look at it, kind of, you know. But, yeah,
it looked like people were pitching in last night,
yeah.
You know, from what I saw.
Yeah.
I was kind of I was watching the game online, and they were down, man, it was like at the end of the third quarter, they were down by 10. And then as soon as the fourth quarter started, within 3 minutes, they were down by 10 and they were up by 3. It was awesome. It was a great run. And then from that point on, they just never looked back. They kind of went up somewhere between like 7 and 10 points, and it was just one of those things. And great for New York. This is really a really awesome thing. Once again, I'm a Nuggets fan. I'm hoping New York Nuggets for the final. That'll be tough.
That would be great.
It would be great. OKC's amazing. I'm kind of hope somebody puts them out.
And Celtics and Philly look strong, you know.
Celtics and Philly always look good, but I don't think they have. There's too many injuries, too much movement around, and I think the Knicks have something that they can hold on to because they were good last year and they pretty much have the same team.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And those guys have played together, so I feel like the more this team plays together, the better it's going to get. So
100%. So we got that going for us, which is super awesome. Okay, let's get back to the thing about 40. Let's talk about 45s a little bit, right? Me, personally, I don't buy a lot of new 45s. I find ones that I like to. I built a collection of about, I don't know, 1,000 of them or so, mm-hmm. just because I bought giant bins of them.
Yeah.
At garage sales or whatever. There'd be like 100 of them, and I would just buy them, you know, and then mm-hmm. I'd get rid of most of them. I think I actually, in my garage, I have about 1,000 of them in a giant bin that are crappy mm-hmm. that I just use them as throwing them at people and stuff.
They're great wall decorators.
They're great wall decorators, you know. But for the most part, I don't listen to them at home because the prop, you got to get up every 2 seconds, you know. They're great here in the studio. And I used to do 45 Fridays when I started the show.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
It is cool, but I need to get more people to come on because my 45, the 45 collection goes pretty quick.
Yeah.
Even when you have a couple hundred of them, you're going to listen to the same thing again, right? So, what, in terms of your stuff, let's talk to us a little bit about what your preferences are, not preferences, but what you like to listen to.
So,
days.
Yeah, like I said, I grew up, you know, my first, like, real, like, I don't know, the person who I was learning upright bass from gave me, like, was just like, check this out, you know? And he was, like, this person who I was just like, he's, like, unreal. I'm learning from, like, the God, you know? So, like, I was introduced to Mingus, and my father, growing up, had always had a record player set up under the TV stand. He had his, like, Marantz receiver, which I still have today. He bought it with his GI issue money. So if I did my homework, my father was a teacher growing up, if I got my homework done on time, he would be like, all right, you want to hear, like, Electric Ladyland, you want to hear Dark Side of the Moon, you want to listen to, like, you know, whatever was under there. It was my mom's section and his section. And so I grew up, you know, putting on the massive headphones and just kind of laying on the ground and looking at the ceiling and just dreaming of, like, what is going on in these guys' heads. So 45, so, like, you know, fast forward to, like, you know, it's the 90s. I'm growing up skateboarding, like, listening to everything I can get my hands on, because there was this little store in Cobleskill called the Everything Shop. And they had these things on Fridays called Bag Day, Dollar Bag Day. So you could bring a bag for a dollar and fill it up. So I figured out that they had a dollar bin of 45s, because people were just, like, in the 90s, people know it's, like, kind of legendary now, like, people were just dumping their vinyl out on the street. So,
oh my God, yeah.
So I, you know, save your lunch money for 5 days straight, and then at the end of the week, go get, like, a couple grips of records, you know, in a suit or something. So that was, you know, that was my excitement of, you know, being a teenager. So I, you know, fast forward to graduating, and I move here. And when I first moved here, I was living with Andres, and the vinyl vault comes into town. And and I'm like, what the heck? Like, there's a vinyl store. And, I mean, you know, previous to that, it was Nick's, you know? Nick.
Yeah.
I know. You remember
God,
Nick?
Yeah.
Nick was, like, you know, an icon. And
Nick.
You remember Nick, right?
So much Zappa.
Yeah.
I know. The other thing Nick had was something super important. Ticketmaster,
yeah. So you would have to buy your tickets. So I go into this vinyl vault, and I'm going in, like, the blind leading the blind, like, I have no idea what I'm getting into. And I go in there, and the whole place is vinyl, just, like, piles. And I'm looking at it like, this looks like my house, you know? Like, this looks like what I'm walking around in the morning when I wake up. It's kind of, like, felt like home. So I discovered there was a far back room in the right, if I'm not mistaken, because now it's a new store. But and it was filled with 45s. I mean, like, there wasn't an ounce or a space, like an inch, that wasn't 45 stacked up. So I went in there, and I spent probably, I don't know, like 3 or 4 days, you know, 8 hours. Like, I mean, allergy, you know, crazy allergies, dusty, like.
Oh, my God,
and
yeah.
I just got everything I wanted and was like, what do you give it to me for? And that really sparked my love for 45s, because I was picking them by, like, the names. You know, I didn't know what I was looking at.
Of course. I still
you know,
do that.
I was like, oh, Serge Gainsbourg? Yes. Like, you know what I mean? Miles Davis? Yes. James Brown? Yes. Like, anything my father or anyone I knew who had put me onto it, I was like, yeah, I want that, you know?
Yeah.
So it didn't matter if it was, like, you know, Nick Drake or Iron Maiden, really, you know? So, you know, and playing them. Like, I fell in love with, I think that was my, like, introduction to Sly and the Family Stone was 45s.
Yeah, I noticed. So as Case is talking, and he bought some 45s in, I'm just kind of looking through, and I'll randomly play a couple ones here.
And so, like, they hit harder. Like, when you play them on a good system, when you're DJing, because I've always wanted, you know, I'll always love DJing, they hit harder. They have some level of, like,
they're hotter.
Sonic quality.
Yeah,
you know?
There's also, I just found that they're hotter.
They are hotter.
Oh,
the
man,
bass hits harder.
Crazy.
The drums hit harder. I mean, talk about, if you're going to sample for hip hop, you might as well use a 45, because the sonics you get off those are just, and you know, they were made for, like, you remember, you think about in the 70s, little kids had their own 45s, and they would have, like, the little read along, you know? Like, I think my first record that my father gave me was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and I used to sit down and listen to that every day, and I was scared, you know? Like, I'd be, like, scared,
right?
Like, what, you know? So.
Oh, man. The Manfred Mann version of Doo-Wah Diddy. Yeah, I have that in there. That's such a great song.
But, yeah, that's, like, you know, I DJed those. I just put them together to bring down to show you, but, like, I spun it Mid-Ig River Friday, and that was just kind of what I snagged out of the stuff, so.
Wow, here's some. Okay, so I'm going to play a song. Just because I pulled some out here.
And there should be spindles in all of them, so.
Yeah, some of them don't, but that's okay. I have a...
Yep.
We'll go through. Okay, here's something that I don't know. This is crazy. Oh, this is a very cool album.
Yeah.
Okay, the Aretha Franklin version of Jumpin' Jack Flash?
Yeah.
I didn't even know this existed.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to listen to it.
You know, deep cuts, man. These 45s got deep cuts.
That's pretty cool. So I listened to, I don't know. The last cool version of that I listened to was the one for the Frampton Comes Alive. There's a really great version of it on there.
Yeah.
I was listening to it with Gab the other day. But here we go. Okay, everybody, here's the Aretha Franklin version of Jumpin' Jack Flash on 45, brought to us by Space Case.
Woo-hoo.
So. Let's check this out, yo.
Hopefully it doesn't skip.
Yeah, you never know. We'll be right back. Hallelujah. Woo. Okay, that was crazy. I wonder what year that was.
It definitely sounds like the 80s.
While we're blabbing here, we'll take a. So where'd you find? Do you remember where you found that?
Where did I find that one?
That's always.
Honestly, no, I don't remember.
Okay.
But that's crazy. It's one of those ones where I was like, "Oh, Aretha, yeah, it's clear." I just was like, "Definitely, that's a great record." So, but yeah, I might DJ it like once every 5 years, but it's so good.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what's going on here. I'm looking this up right now.
And it definitely sounds like it's like Keith Richards on guitar, or like the Stones were there, or something. So.
Okay, so it's interesting. So you got, when I look up Jumpin' Jack Flash, right? Here's an interesting thing about the song too. Gavin and I talked about this recently because we were talking about the Stones.
It's a cover, right?
No, but what it is it's a non. I was looking for the album that it was on, and it's not. It's one of those really random non-album.
Like
singles.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, I think Vogue.
Mm-hmm. Madonna.
Right? Wasn't on one of the albums, unless it was on like a compilation or a movie thing or something, but it's not on one of the main.
No, and like, back then, like, it was commonplace for these bands to have like their record company say, you gotta produce something now.
They would release
like,
singles.
People are waiting for this, so, yeah.
It came out originally, right, for U.S. singles between She's a Rainbow and Street Fightin' Man. Mm. Good times on Decca. So
yeah, it could just be one of those random.
Okay. Oh, man, dude. I gotta show you this in a minute. Because, if you had the original jacket for this, dude, it's banging. Okay, guess what year it was released. You were kind of right.
I'm thinking like 82.
86.
Okay.
And you could probably see, look at this.
That's Keith.
Yeah, right.
Is that Keith?
It is Keith.
I'm reading his book right now. It's pretty good.
I bet. Okay, so here we go. I didn't realize this. Okay, so 1986, the song was used in the end credits for the Whoopi Goldberg film Jumpin' Jack Flash, which I remember was about like this, kind of caper. Mm-hmm. The only thing I remember about that film is she was wearing a dress and it got caught in a, like, shredder. Huh. And it was, like, ripping her dress off. And she was, like, trying to get, like, it was, like, whatever.
Whoopi.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg.
That was
Colbert.
Good stuff.
Right, yeah. Ronnie Wood and Keith Richards are on the actual thing. Steve Jordan on drums. Chuck Lavelle on keyboards, of course. Interesting.
Yeah.
Peak position, 21 on the Billboard Hot 100. I've never heard it.
The Billboard, that was it. They the music label, the record label's probably like, hey, let's do this. We're going to get these, numbers up. And
it's a very funny cover art. Everybody should check it out. Go to, just look up Jumpin' Jack Flash on Wikipedia, and you'll be able to find the cover art for this. It's absolutely brilliant. Okay, so as we were talking through this stuff, once again, I looked through the collection here, and I picked something else out that looks ridiculous, and I also don't know it. The Utica Club.
I put that one right in the front. So, yeah, no, the Utica Club Natural Carbonation Band.
Yep, okay.
So this is, this is, like, I don't know. It's, people like weird trivia, right? Like, I like the weird 45s that no one wants. So it's funny, it's like a jingle, it's like a psychedelic jingle for an upstate beer company, and I mean that's all I can say is like Partridge Family meets beer. So
I'm looking at this Matt's Brewing Company, right? Another marketing element was the Utica Club National Carbonation Band beer drinking song, which is what we're going to be listening to.
And there's a vocal track and a non-vocal track, so.
Amazing.
Yeah.
This was, oh, man.
I mean, I'm guessing like 72. But
68.
Okay.
Right?
Summer of Love,
1968. 1968. Okay, anyways, we're going to listen to this now because I've never heard it. I'm totally, Utica Club, Utica Club. There was another. There was a song called Utica.
Yeah, this is the song.
Is that song?
This is the Natural Carbonation.
Oh, okay. So it's the same song.
Yeah. Utica Club. Okay. Utica Club.
So I guess I have heard
down,
this. I just didn't know that's
down,
what it was.
Down, down.
I thought it was just called Down at the Utica Club or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, here we go. Utica Club. I remember Matt's Brewing Company. Remember beer balls?
Yes.
We used to like buy those things and like cut part of it off and put it on, try to get it on our head like a space helmet, like, you know, like, I don't know. They had like little pony pumps. They were like the coolest thing in the world because they held like, I don't know, 30 beers or something. Instead of buying a 30 rack,
right.
You just buy a beer ball.
Yep.
Matt's beer ball. Okay, here we go. And the sky is gray. Okay, that was awesome. I hadn't heard that. For some reason, I thought it sounded different than what it did. I don't remember it being as, I don't want to call it janky, but it like stops and starts.
Yeah.
And just kind of goes into different sections. Yeah, you could totally hear that's from the late 60s.
Yeah.
The organ player's great. Right?
Yeah.
It's like the version of the Animals or Mamas and the Papas meet the Turtles. I was thinking. Very, very, very cool. Okay, this next one I pulled out another one as I'm going through because it was a fond memory. When I was... late 70s, early 80s, and I don't know when this song came out. I'd have to look at it. This must have been in the 80s then, because Empire Strikes Back came out in 79, I think.
Oh, is this the Cantina Band 45?
No, it isn't, but it's something else that reminded me. So when I was growing up, I had a record player, a Fisher-Price record player, that had these two dancing like cowboys on it, and you'd open it up and it lights would flash and it was awesome, and it played 45s mm-hmm. and it played 33s too mm-hmm. but I remember my mom had a Bobby Vinton album. We used to listen to mm-hmm. Roses Are Red on that thing all the time. But there were two albums, 45s in particular, that I remember having. And we would play them all the time, along with all of the, you know, in magazines, you used to get like Highlight Magazine or these like kids' magazines.
Like Ranger Rick.
Yeah, and they would have these floppy in the middle.
Yeah.
You just perforated albums.
Yeah, even National Geographic. I still have a couple of those. They still do that.
Yeah, it's amazing. You could just, they would just
flexi discs,
right? So you could just, pull, like, you know, literally pull them out from the middle or whatever and put them on. It's funny. Yeah, you could, like, Gavin had a lathe up there in his office for a while, and he did it on a, like a plastic Dixie plate.
Yeah, you can do it right on you can do it on a plate, you can do it on plexiglass, like.
Yeah, it's so crazy what
you
could just like lathe, you know, make a vinyl out of or what you call a recording.
Like
out
the
of
Native Americans used, branches to a ceramic pot. Yeah. So, like, as they were dancing around a fire, those pots had the sonics engraved into them.
It's crazy.
So
you could probably do it on wood, too, I'm sure. But, I mean, that would chip away pretty easily. But, no, it's a totally interesting thing. But when I was growing up, there were two things I remember vividly. One was the Empire Strikes Back 45, and I remember it because there's a great sample in there of R2-D2 getting chucked out of the Dagobah swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Once he gets swallowed by the swamp monster and gets, like, ejected out. Yeah, that's it, right? And it's, like, in the middle of the song somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, samples from the movie in there, and I remember that in particular.
Yeah.
And I also remember the jacket for it. But the second one that I remember, and I thought it was... The company RSO, maybe it had like a bull on it.
Oh, RSO. I can see the brand, but yeah.
It was like a bull. It was like a pinkish label with a red bull on it, and I can't remember whoever the pressing company was. This second song was the one that we used to play consistently all the time, and it is Funky Town. Other one. Yeah,
Lips,
right?
Inc., man.
So, did Lips do anything else?
I'm sorry. I didn't just go, pfft. No, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like, I don't know. They were...
Listened to the B-side of this?
Yeah, I mean, maybe once or twice.
I just wonder what it is.
You know, it's just... I really don't know. And I do try to do my, like, homework on these records, and I try to, you know, give them the grace of knowing, but no, I really have no idea. Some of these bands that made these 45s just, like, made one and disappeared.
This was huge, though.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
this song
top,
was huge.
Top 20 for who knows how long, right?
Yeah, and it's also very precursor to... what year is this? What do you think?
If I could guess...
This is a history
Funky
lesson.
Town. I'm thinking like 84, maybe 82, 83.
Okay.
I'll give you three. 83.
You're going to say 83? Okay. I'm going to look it up right now and see what we got. 79.
Yeah.
79.
Yeah.
Which checks out because this is the same time that Empire Strikes Back album would have come out.
Right.
Sometime around there, 80. So I probably had it in 1980.
But yeah, this was at that time period when, you know, if you had a 45 to make... That was like, it was not just for the kids, it was for the whole family, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you see nowadays, I know you're seeing it more now, it's coming back, but back when I was younger and, you know, early 80s, or late 80s, early 90s, you're looking at a magazine, you see a kid sitting on the floor with their 45 spread out all over the floor.
That's right.
And that was like, you'd always see that. So growing up, that was kind of like, that was me. I felt like that was... me just sitting on the floor with all my 45 spread out. So,
yeah, same. It's so crazy. So the album version is 8 minutes long.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a long player.
The singles version is 355, which is what we're going to listen to in a second. The songwriter, Steven Greenberg.
But yeah, I mean...
That's the only thing he did there.
It really was... Funky Town.
Amazing. Let's see what we got.
Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to
Super fun. I love playing this stuff. It just brings back core memories. We were talking about maybe trying to do a show sometime at the Oak or something. Go down there and just play 45s. That'd be fun to do all night. I'll talk to Seymour. See if I can get down there on the weekend or something like that. Let's see. I wanted to talk to you before. We're going to play one more. We only got time for one more song. But before then, let's chat a little bit about, okay, top five that you would like to have in your collection that you've been looking for.
Okay.
On 45. And it could be just random. It doesn't have to be top five. Five that you would like to find. And once again, case like me, we like to find stuff in the wild. Yeah. Every once in a while I'll buy something online, but I like to find stuff in the wild. So what are we looking for?
Yeah,
top five.
Every year I make that rule for myself. Like if I'm looking for a record, I need to find it in a store. So top five 45s I'm looking for. Okay, so I was just telling you earlier. I just discovered this one through a coworker. It's called Somebody Farted. It's Bobby James and the Critters.
Amazing.
And it's like a Miami bass, hip-hop. Like, it's just funny, and it's got that, like every good 90s party track.
Yeah,
had.
Okay.
So I'm going to put that one in number. I'm going to put that one as number one for this year.
Awesome.
Spaceballs, the Spaceballs
song. From the movie. Okay.
I am on a hunt, and if I don't come across that in the wild, I will order it on a line sooner or later.
Wow.
I'm giving myself like 4 years on it, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. I would love to have Velvet Underground's Sweet Jane. That 45 to me is, how do you say it? It's just like everything comes from that for me. So Lou Reed, like,
we're going to talk about this in a
Velvet
second.
Velvet Underground.
No, let's talk about it now while we're here.
Okay.
So Velvet Underground, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Velvet Underground, because I was talking about this with Gavin the other day, and I was talking about it with somebody else, maybe Ned. Like three or four people in the past 2 months have been talking about Velvet Underground. About the Velvet Underground and Lou Reed, super influential.
Yeah.
Those recordings are out of tune.
Oh, my God.
And they're bad.
And they're terrible, but...
But when you put it on, there's something really weirdly mesmerizing about it.
It makes the hair stand up
on
my arm.
So what is it? Like, this is my question, and I try to ask everybody about it. Like, because, like, hey, you know, what Velvet Underground's... The first... There's, like, three albums or four albums.
Yeah.
The first two, you know...
Seminal.
They're amazing, but they're terrible. Like I said, you listen to Lou Reed talk, and he's a jerk.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I mean 100%,
but there's something
magical, and I don't, John Cale, like, who knows? There was a lot of genius in that band, right? And Mo Tucker, like, as the drummer.
Yeah.
I mean, there was something to the simplicity that they were doing.
That's right.
That was more than punk. To me, it was like pre-Nirvana's Nirvana, right? Like, growing up in the 90s, it was Nirvana. Every kid wanted to be a Nirvana. Yeah, so Velvet Underground, like, the only other band that I, in my collection, could say is as influential to me is the Stooges.
Okay, yeah.
Which I pick up every Stooges record I can ever find.
Sure, and they're awesome, and I, you know, once again, something like that.
Like Iggy. And pick a fifth favorite 45. I'm going to go with, like, Low by David Bowie.
Oh, very cool.
So,
all right.
You know, any David Bowie, if I see a Bowie 45 in the wild, I'm just like, I can't not buy it.
Yeah, I think I have Diamond Dogs and...
Space, I mean, just any Bowie.
Yeah, totally. Amazing. Yeah, the Velvet... I had to ask that Velvet Underground thing.
Yeah, you know, like, there's a magic to them that... And I don't know. It's like you're, and like, look, I mean, growing up playing music, it was like every article I ever read was like Velvet Underground. So maybe it was like one of those things. But as a musician, musician's musician, like favorite, you know, it's Velvet Underground was, there's something to the human touch of it that you can hear the mistakes.
I think that's what it is, because it's like literally all of the, like, not only just collectors or casual listeners, but also people who are, you know, I'm in the academia world, so right. people with doctorates in music yeah. theory and stuff like that are like, these albums are incredible. And then you put it on and you listen to it, and I'm like, this is so freaking out of tune and
yeah.
bad.
And you know, like, Rolling Stone, these are records that Rolling Stone probably gave a 1 out of 10 back then, but now they've revised their
yeah.
lists, and they're like 9 out of 10s. And it's, and listen, that's the way our culture evolves, and Rolling Stone and all these, you know, facets of our culture have always, you know, been like benchmark, like, what do you look to? Like, it's like the comic books you read, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, so
it reminds me of in modern, when I was growing up, you know, high school, Mellow Gold.
Oh, yeah.
By Beck. Has the same thing for me.
Yep.
Like, it's just, it was something new out there. It was
yep.
great songwriting. The whole album was kind of out of tune.
It was a little naughty.
And naughty and just kind of bad,
yeah.
but, like, really good, you know, intentionally like that.
It was, like, the kind of record, personally, I would hide from my parents, because it was like, you didn't want to get in trouble, you know? It's like, it had the explicit
like
lyrics.
The robot
nitrous, it, you know?
Nitrous tank on the front, you know? Like,
there was something different about that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, I got one more song here gonna play, because it's a personal favorite, and I also related to Andres a
yep,
lot
yep.
too.
Shout out to Andres. Shout out to Andres.
That's right.
Gavin.
The Pharaohs. Sam,
yeah.
Wooly Bully,
yeah,
right. Like, I remember him really loving that, and maybe it was Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
Was that
Sam Sham and the Pharaohs?
Yeah,
Wooly
Sam
Bully.
Sham and the Pharaohs, Wooly Bully, and there was another. There's like a Little Red Riding Hood song
yep.
too. I think that was by them.
And I mean, that's punk rock too.
It is.
As me, it's punk rock.
Yeah, we're gonna play some Wooly Bully right here, and this is the end of the show. We're just gonna have. We're gonna let this play out, and I want to thank Case for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
DJ Nas for Mark II. Once again, What's in Your Pocket? Rolling tomorrow. I have Michael Aaron, a graduate from Oneonta from 2 years ago. He's gonna come and convince me that Weezer is the best band ever, which is not true in my personal opinion,
yeah.
but, you know,
I will.
Weezer has its place in time.
Yes, they do.
Pinkerton's the best album. That's what I think.
The Blue Album and Pinkerton were, they were monumental.
That's right. So he's going to convince me tomorrow by bringing in a ton of Weezer, and we'll see how he influences the pocket. We'll see. Anyways, Case, you're awesome.
Thanks, Mark.
It's great to have you on, and yeah, here's some Sam Sham and the Pharaohs, and we're going to listen to some Wooly Bully. Sweet.
Yeah, it's really fun.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Happy New Year from your friends and DJs at WONY, W-O-N-Y, 90.9 FM, Oneonta. Thank you for a great year of listening and keeping it locked.
Is it
We're James.
And Mary.
We've been retired for 15 years and never been busier.
Life's tight, but we eat right by making whole grain sandwiches and chopped veggies.
We're heading out to our grandkids' soccer game, so prepping meals saves us time and money and makes lunch easy to pack.
Learn how you could eat right when life's tight. Visit snapedny.org.
SnapEd is funded by USDA Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. This institution is